I think the worship team forgot that I changed the order of worship just a tad bit. Y'all can sit down. I'm about to preach. It's all good. You'll come up right after me. Should I pray again? No, let us just appreciate the worship team for all that they have done. I do that occasionally. Pastor Ashley is still out, so prayers for her family as they recover from a crud that has impacted them. So within the past couple of weeks, there has been a bit of extra traffic coming through the main office. You have been carrying an assortment of shoes to give to Gulf Coast Kids House. Stacy, the executive director, is here with us today, and she will come share in a bit. But you're going to have to put up with me first. I have to admit that I have thought about and prayed for every little one whom will wear, walk, run, tie, and Velcro fasten these shoes. These shoes represent this time of Lent, this time of remaining in this tension of journeying with Jesus to the cross. This tension that always does not result in a warm and fuzzy feeling. This tension that commands us to pick up the cross of strength, the cross of comfort, faith, and love, leading us to say yes to God. And also believing that God will always come through. God will clothe us with strength, clothe us with courage, clothe us with hope and joy as we daily follow Christ. Each week I have shared how our text messages have been just a bit complicated, and today is no different. We have walked through what does it mean to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to be the church of Jesus, to boldly go where no woman or man has gone before? What does it mean to trust in the one who leads us? And today is no different. For a moment, I want you to look down at your own shoes. If you can, wiggle your toes. If your shoes could talk, what would they say? What stories do they tell? How do they feel? And I want you to imagine what it would look like for each of us to walk a mile in each other's shoes. As we focus on the shoes before us, as we ground our feet in this holy place, I wonder what it would look like to walk a mile in the shoes of these children. Shoes are celebratory. Right? When you receive a new pair, you buy a new pair, they feel good. Some may need to be stretched out or broken in. Some are only good for about an hour or two, while others surround us with comfort and help us to achieve our 10,000 daily steps. But our shoes also cover and protect one of the most vulnerable parts of our bodies. See, the shoes that we see before us are similar to this passage, inviting us to be spiritually with the most vulnerable of children as we witness the vulnerable mindset of Jesus. Our passage today solicits the question, What does it mean to glorify God? What does it mean to glorify God? We are parachute dropped into verse 20, which marks the arrival of some Greeks who have traveled to the Passover feast, to this festival, to this incredible time of worship. Myself and a colleague talked about this text and said to one another, it sounds like some Greeks came for the party. I mean, who doesn't love a good time? Yesterday, I attended the golf tournament. It was fun. It was a time of remembrance and of generosity. And I quickly realized from the eyes of this text, sometimes we come for the party, and in the process, we meet Jesus. With the arrival of the Greeks and their request to see Jesus, verse 21 through 22 takes us back to the call narratives. See, in chapter 1, Jesus greets the first disciples, one of whom was Andrew and the other Philip. See, with this invitation, he asks them to come and see. This is all interconnected in the context. See, when we hear the phrase, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," the Greeks are requesting a meeting, and it opens up our imagination that perhaps they also had a desire to become disciples. Sir, we want to see Jesus. One theologian writes, because Andrew and Philip were the first to receive the invitation to discipleship directly from Jesus, their presence in today's text establishes a connection between the call of the first Jewish disciples and the arrival of the first non-Jewish or Gentile disciples. Saints, as today's witnesses, we stand in this contextual tension and knowledge that indeed God is making all things new. We witness it in the text today, and because of this, we are being called to give God glory. See, giving God glory means to praise God, to honor God, to believe, to value who God is in our lives today. In verse 20 through 22, we experience this distinct shift where the past and the present catapult us into tomorrow. And this tomorrow shows up in verses 23 to 26, where the vulnerability of Jesus Christ is revealed. This day, we hold the tension. We hold the vulnerability. We hold the shoes in front of us. We hold the ones on our feet. We hold the phrase, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," up in the air. As we hold this tension, Jesus is inviting us, inviting humanity, inviting you and me to share in his death. It's not a physical or literal death, but where God is glorified, not with lip service, but with action and obedience. We hold this tension. We hold these precious shoes. We hold this invitation to see Jesus. The Message translation says, "Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over." In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is, destroys that life. But if you let go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. If you let go, reckless in your love, you'll have this life forever, real and eternal. See, farmers and gardeners and planters know that a seed does not die. If a seed does not die, it is no good at all. It just lays on the ground. If it does not continue to receive the nurture that it needs, it will just remain a seed, and that is it. But when a seed is nurtured, and it comes in contact with moisture, it looks like it is rotting. But as it dies, a green shoot of life will begin to protrude from it. This seed, this life, this vulnerable plant in death becomes transformed. It dies to its former self in order to become something else, something new, something greater, which will produce more fruit and most likely more seeds. See, even the Jesus we know, who healed, who made himself available, who was present, who was a teacher, and in many ways a rebel, reveals to us that his soul is troubled. His soul is troubled because he knows what is ahead. His physical death is imminent in order to give life to the rest of us. What does it mean to glorify? It means we partner and care for the most vulnerable in our community. It means we share in the public witness to speak out against the atrocities and the violence we see against our neighbors, including those who do not look like us. It means the divinity within us is not an act of charity, but an act of solidarity, an act of love. Today, we witness Jesus' struggle for humanity, struggle for each of us. What does it mean in this day and age to glorify God? It means acknowledging that we are being called to put to death some of our old ways. It means to reflect on the areas of your life that need to die out of our love for God. It means that we look at our lives and reflect on those places that hinder us from walking with God so that we can live in his presence. As we witness this moment of prophecy from Jesus and vulnerability from Jesus, a voice comes from the heavens, and the crowds interprets this voice as a thunder or as an angel speaking to Jesus. And Jesus replies, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine." This is a powerful statement that I have to admit I had never noticed before. The call narrative with Philip and Andrew. The Greeks coming and asking, "We want to see Jesus." I never noticed Jesus saying, "That voice was not for me. It was for you. Everything Jesus had and continues to do, every miracle, every healing, every food distribution, every medical triage that we witness in the biblical text is not for Jesus. It is for us to see, to believe, and to share the good news. So often we become like those in the crowd, missing the point, misunderstanding, or misinterpreting what it means to glorify God. Simply put, in order to glorify God, we acknowledge that God is in our midst, right here and right now. And what needs to die so that we may live is our selfish pride, control, fear, judgment, and anger. Well, those are actually my top five. What are yours? What are your top five? What needs to die in your life so that you may rend your hearts, claim the promise of life in Christ, and glorify, believe, honor, value, and reverence God? Does your list look like mine? Control, fear, selfish pride, judgment, and anger? What needs to die in your life so that your marriage may live, so that your relationships may thrive, so that racial bias will disintegrate and unity and love will prevail? Jesus said, "I have come in order that you might have life, life in all of its fullness." Can we truly live or be difference makers in the name of Christ? Can we bear much fruit unless our old form is destroyed and we put on the new image of Jesus Christ, bearing fruit that sprouts new fruit that spreads seeds all over the world? He struggled for us so that we would not have to struggle ourselves. O people of God, rend your hearts and claim the promise of God. So as we continue to worship through prayer, reflection, and hearing from Stacy, and lifting up the gift of these truths, let us entrust our life to the one who builds it. And may every pair of shoes that you see right here on your feet, in your closets, in the stores, remind you of the vulnerability of Jesus Christ. He said, "I have come in order that you might have life, life in all of its fullness." So, saints, for a moment, repeat after me. Sir, Madam, we wish to see Jesus.